720 WGN hits Amy Youth and Connor McKnight. We're here till 3 o'clock. We're in for Bill and Wendy. How are you this fine New Year's Eve?
Wonderful. Ready to make some real big changes in my life.
Oh?
This is all it was. Yeah, I just needed a 24-hour clock running until the year changed where I could finally do all
finally.
The things that I've been meaning to. I mean, you know, I'm 30 now, and it's time to make some real changes in my life, and I figured that this is, you know, this is the moment to have that midlife crisis that I need to.
Yesterday, you couldn't have done that today.
No. Because the clock yesterday was at 48 hours, Amy. I do my best work on deadline in the crushing terror and grip of deadline. So
I feel you.
This is where I operate best.
And, you know, speaking of things going up very fast and things happening very, very fast, right behind us here.
And operating under the pressure of a crushing deadline?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right behind us here, there's this.
Ooh, look. You got to look. It is. It's the star, but you have to look now because it's doing things
there's
now.
A star
we didn't know that it was going to do things earlier.
On the side of the building here that we're facing, we're looking out across the river, looking from the Allstate Showcase Studio here in beautiful Tribune Tower on Michigan Avenue. And we've been watching all week this star getting affixed to a building, and now it's lighting up and doing fancy things. And it's all for this Chi-Town Rising event that's new this year.
Yes. A new tradition.
I'd like to...
As it's being built, a new tradition.
I would like to pull a little bit from my favorite holiday, which is Festivus. Pull that into right now just for a minute and have a Festivus moment.
Are you saying that you have a lot of problems with us?
I have a grievance to air.
You have a grievance to air?
I will not do the feats of strength, but I do have a...
Festivus ends when you bend me, George.
I do have a feat of... Not a feat of strength, but I do have a grievance. And that is... it doesn't feel Chicago-y to me.
It does not feel Chicago-y to me.
A... Nobody here says Chi-Town.
No one.
That's what people say when they're not from here and they're visiting here.
When you hear someone say Chi-Town, it immediately alerts you to the fact that you're going to have to tell them how to get onto the train. That's what you know.
You're going to need to explain the upper and lower Michigan
yes.
concept and that Wacker is many directions.
Billy Goat is not, in fact, on the top of Michigan Avenue. You have to go downstairs to get to the Billy Goat here.
Yeah, there's a lot of things you're going to have to explain. One of those is like, hey, fold the map and walk. Don't...
Also that.
Just walk with your mouth open looking up.
And no, you don't have to eat deep dish pizza the entire time you're here. Maybe just get one slice and call it a day.
I have a rule about things that I will not wait in line for.
Mm.
Eggs is one of them.
And eggs is one of them.
Pizza is another.
In general, eggs.
When I see people waiting outside for brunch, come on.
Oh, okay. So
I
thought you were like buying your eggs like at a free range kind of thing. Like there was a line
outside. Can't rush
outside
the chickens. Can't rush the chickens.
Okay,
no.
That makes a lot more sense though.
Don't wait in line for eggs. Don't wait in line for pizza.
Those are two pretty fair things to not have to wait in line for.
And every time I see that Geno's East line, I'm like, nope.
Oh, it's preposterous.
Nope.
Absolutely preposterous. But you're right. It doesn't feel Chicago-y. And I'm sure.
The Chi-Town Rising.
We're going to feel like we're taking a couple shots here. I suppose, but it feels a little bit rushed to me. The fact that it's just kind of, and it's a star, and it'll
well,
go
and
up
I think
the
it's
building.
Been kind of
you'll
fraught.
Love it.
It's been kind of fraught with issues from the start because originally it was going to be free, and then at the last minute there was this $100
so
price
free.
Point thing
yeah.
unveiled. Also, it's being called a new tradition, which I feel like. By definition.
I like to, you know, pick bones on semantics here.
Yeah.
And you're
yeah,
right.
I'm with you.
Nothing is a new tradition. It is an inaugural. You can call it that is the inaugural Chi-Town Rising thing. And then if it catches on, then you can call it a tradition.
Right. Because the word tradition implies a sense of acceptance.
It can only be applied in the posthumous
way. It can be straight up rejected.
What do you guys think it was like the first time they did the Taste of Chicago? Do you think people really... took on to that?
I think it was just just a bunch of people with trucks and food,
yeah,
right?
I mean,
did
yeah.
they even call it anything at the first?
That's probably just called it tailgating.
Thing. Yeah.
Or something, you know.
It was like a part. They called it, I can't believe we're getting away with this. No one's...
We're selling food in
public. Whole
street
shut down.
By the way, the specs on that star, 70 feet from bottom to top, and it's going to rise 360 feet up that Hyatt.
What is the rate of speed? Is it going to kind of creep up throughout the night? Or is
miles
it just going to like fall
up? Fly right up the thing. We're going
to
launch it in orbit.
I have to tell you, though, this is going to be broadcast on NBC affiliates, at least 40 NBC affiliates across the country. So it's quite possible, and we've seen events like this before. It's not really for us.
That's true.
It's really more marketed toward a national brand. I mean, Mario Lopez is not from here, let's face it. We all love him.
Which was my third grievance.
Sorry, I won't get into that, but you know what? Just continue your conversation.
No, we appreciate this information. We need you to keep us grounded, because we'll just sit here and celebrate Festivus.
This is also going to be... broadcast on Telemundo as well. And I've noticed, based on the people who are speaking, there's going to be a certain Latin flavor to this event. And the fact that it is in the central time zone, I mean, it's going to be hitting Dallas. It's going to be hitting San Antonio, you know, some of the places that we think more of you know, kind of maybe more of a Hispanic population. Obviously, we've got a big population here. So it will be, because I don't know if they do anything like that for New Year's in New York. I don't know if they do a simulcast, and maybe they do a Spanish simulcast. They probably do, but I think that there's a certain target that they're trying to hit for some of these broadcasts.
Well, it'll be interesting to see. I think everyone's a little jumpy. I was watching social media earlier today, looking to see what people were saying, and I think a lot of people were still kind of jumpy from that Fire River. Remember that the Red Moon Theater did?
Oh,
and
sure.
I think people were still kind of channeling that a little bit of like, I hope it's not. So people, I think, are preemptively cringing on behalf of the event organizers just to kind of like, I hope this goes well for them.
Well, it doesn't look like the area to gather down there. And maybe they're going to blow out a lot of space or something like that. But there's tents and, you know, a couple of barriers, you know, cordoned off kind of that. It doesn't look like the area for people to go hang out there is all that big. I don't know if they're creating more space as the day goes on and traffic clears out. But
ooh, the stars sparkle.
You know, Ryan's right. Maybe this isn't necessarily for us. It's for us right now because that star is really doing... Listen,
it's sparkling just for us right now.
We might have to revise our thoughts on some of this. Given the acrobatics and the lights and everything that the star's doing right now, if that's just a taste of what's going to happen later tonight, maybe I'll change my mind.
Pyrotechnics are no deal.
We just all got to get our drones up in the air and we'll be able to get a better view.
Fly the whole thing around.
Our licensed drones, right.
By the way, I did get my license. I do not own a drone, but I did get my license.
But you're ready to own a drone.
I'm ready. I'm ready. 2016, here we come.
That's exciting. What was that process? Tricky? Or
no, super easy. There are like 8 guidelines. Don't fly it over people, so we can't go out and bring it out to Chi-Town Rising, unfortunately. It can't be within 5 miles of the airport. It's $5, but if you do it before January 21st, you get your $5 back, and a couple other restrictions as well. You can't you have to be able to see your drone. You can't just fly it around buildings without being able to see it. So
okay, those all seem reasonable.
It's pretty cool, and you have to get this your license number once you get your serial number. That one's it's got to be on the drone. So you got to put it on there, kind of like you would with a canoe or a boat or anything like that.
I have questions about enforceability about a lot of those little items there, a lot of those bullet points and addendums.
Well, if you're caught without your license number on the drone, big trouble, right?
Well, sure, but I'm just saying, like, you know, if you're not allowed to operate it without seeing it, how are they ever going to prove that you couldn't see the drone? I mean, I don't know. It's just little things
sure,
like that.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's just tough to be able to. It's for the licensure. It's for the dollar, and it's for the licensure, and I'm sure that makes a couple of bucks for them.
Well, and they want to hold people responsible, too. Remember, I mean, this is kind of like a hunting license, right? I mean, they're not going to be able to know exactly what you do until you go in and register. And
Yeah. Well, the deer came at me, officer. I don't know what to tell you.
Right. I mean, I think it's really interesting what drones have done for filmmaking. Suddenly, it's set the bar so much lower of, like, cost-wise.
Oh, absolutely.
Because you can get these tremendously beautiful aerial shots of things that cost you... You know, there's an apparatus you can attach to your drone to put a DSLR camera on it, and suddenly you can get these beautiful panoramic shots that would otherwise require, you know, a helicopter or an aircraft of some kind to go and do this, and now you can do it with a DSLR. So it's really kind of cool and exciting, and I think it's going to be interesting to see, you know, all the places where we start seeing that.
I saw a wedding party using one in Berlin. It was really cool. The wedding party was dancing and singing, and they had a drone flying overhead, and it's almost like they were dancing for the camera.
That's
when you
fun.
Get the $5 back on the license. I mean, it's a win-win.
Right.
I mean, they just want to hold it for a minute.
You know what? For some reason, I thought it was several hundred dollars. I don't know where I got that. I just made that up, I guess.
No, it's $5. For the ones, you remember, these are under 55 pounds. If you start getting the heavy-duty ones or the commercial ones, that's going to be a little different. And if you want to get into that, I know a lot of real estate agents, Orion talked about agricultural businesses using this as well, using drones. Those will be a little pricier. And I believe you can start registering for those commercial licenses early next year. Starting tomorrow, I guess, maybe. Next year
right,
being
next
tomorrow.
Right, next year is here. Yeah. The star reminds us.
And the countdown's there.
Yes, indeed.
Come full circle. Very nice. I like it.
Yes. All right. Well, I suppose we should take a little break.
I suppose we can.
We can. We should. It's
speaking of taking a little break, I think there's two people at least attached to Ben Carson that could be taking a little break or are taking a little break.
We've been
here.
Invited to take a little break.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. We need to talk
I don't
about
know
that.
If it's their idea or somebody else's, but they are going to have a little hiatus here. We'll talk about that coming up next. 720 WGN. Welcome back. 720 WGN. I'm Connor McKnight. She is Amy Guth. Talking a little bit about the news that Ben Carson, GOP political candidate, presidential candidate, I should say, has a what do you want to call it, Amy? A shakeup in his campaign, right?
Let's
at the very top of the offices.
Let's call this a reorg.
This is definitely a reorganization, and just prior to the new year, too. You've got the State of the Union coming up January 12th. Not that that necessarily pertains to the GOP race in and of itself, but that's going to be something that I'm sure a lot of these candidates are to come back and fire off against after the president has gone through and made his State of the Union in, what, about 2 weeks now. In, just prior to that, though, Ben Carson, it's been announced, is going to be looking for a new campaign manager and a new communications director, as Barry Bennett and Doug Watts have resigned. There's been a lot of talk, too, in this campaign as its numbers have slipped to about, like, what, 10% in a couple of the latest polls, down from, like, 29 in the last month and a half.
Quite a huge jump, yeah.
It's a big drop to take. And there's been a lot of talk about the, I guess, it's been profiled as infighting, I guess, amongst that campaign.
Yeah, I mean, what really sticks out about this is on his way out the door here, because both of them said effective immediately.
Yes.
I mean, they're saying, like, I'm out. Mm-hmm. Bye. I'm going. I'm going to Chi-Town Rising. I got to go. campaign manager Barry Bennett said, I mean, he was so candid about his, he kept talking about his frustration levels.
Right.
I'm doing air quotes, frustration levels. And usually, even when you know there was a little bit of backstage drama, there's some degree of decorum on your way out of like, I wish the campaign the best. I'm going to pursue other opportunities. Oh, no. He's straight up. My frustration level has peaked with Dr. Carson's outside advisors. I mean, straight up, absolutely not. He's hinted that there's the business manager.
Armstrong Williams.
Armstrong Williams. That's a good first name.
That is
Armstrong.
A fantastic name altogether.
Well, apparently those two don't get along.
No, not even a little bit.
And so they have had their tensions, and there's an implication that there's that going on too, in addition to other outside advisors. But those are two very key roles that you don't necessarily want to be losing at this moment.
No doubt. Williams, the guy who's his Carson's business manager and the guy who I guess is that Bennett has kind of an issue with, Williams had criticized Bennett and Watts, his campaign manager and communications director, for, and this is in the CNN piece I was reading here, for not adequately preparing the candidate for public appearances, especially on foreign policy, an issue that's dominated the race in recent months. Is that their fault? I mean, because you've seen Ben Carson operate even before, you know, the campaign in and of itself kicked off.
And here's the thing. There's not preparing your candidate, and then there's candidates who are not preparable.
Yes.
And who are not rein-in-able.
Not everyone is, and say what you will about Marco Rubio, and you may say a number of things, but that dude has sound bites over sound bites on top of sound. His 15-second answers have elevator speeches in and of themselves.
Yeah.
Like, the guy is just, I don't know if that's good for a president, but it's damn good for a candidate when you've got every answer boiled down to 15 seconds or less.
And when, I mean, I worry a lot about, I've talked about this on this station before, I worry a lot about media literacy all the time. Every day I worry about that, but I really worry about it in times of elections because we see rampant misinformation spread with email forwards written in Comic Sans, double whammy. We, you know, we see things that are just, like, it can be simple, like everybody's got that relative, right? That's going to send you an email forward that's got a photo that says, this proves that X has happened and this candidate is bad or this candidate is great or whatever. And it's a photo that, you know, I believe I have, just by profession, have a responsibility to fact check my own relatives. And so I'll hit reply all and be like, nah, actually, that was taken 16 years ago. It wasn't taken this week.
Right.
As you all know, that's not what he said or something. You know, I find myself kind of policing and doing that kind of thing for my own relatives. But it's a time when the personality, the soundbite, excuse me, and the anecdotal narrative around candidates, that does win an election.
It absolutely does. And I think that's where you see the conversation shifting some, or at least I've seen some of the conversation shifting as those who would be, you know, those who would qualify themselves as Republican voters, you know what I mean? Like, you know, not necessarily party line, but, you know, voting for that party and or had been for a long time. There's kind of, I think, a reorganization in what they're looking for in a candidate as Donald Trump continues to do the nonsense things that he's doing. And I mean that in a very real way. I mean, yeah, he's, you know, kind of this almost fictional creature and or character out there kind of campaigning, but he's also spreading flat lies a lot of time. I mean, he's been fact checked through and through, and if you get one fact out of the guy and actual information at all during a 20-minute speech, then, you know, that's one of the good ones.
I really like when he changes his answer on the fly.
Oh, it's
so
my
he'll
favorite.
Go, 14 million, 18, 28 million people have right. said, I'm like, what? Wow, that doubled in 12
selling,
seconds.
Selling the apartments in China. They sold $35 billion is
perfect
what I sold
example.
Them the apartment for. They don't even know. They have no idea.
Yeah.
The guy's just nonsense.
Have you seen the Donald Trump coloring book? It's a thing. It's real.
Is it made for him? I want it to be made for him.
No, it's just
like
him.
It's a coloring book, and then you get one crayon, and it's gold, and Donald just colors the entire thing. I assume that's what a Donald Trump coloring book is.
That's what it should be. But in fact, it's kind of like if you were going to make stained glass images of Donald Trump, it is kind of broken out like that, too. It's sort of
it's
a...
like, there's like a halo behind that nonsense piece of hair.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Is it for kids? No, nothing
he does is for kids.
No, nothing is appropriate for kids that he does. My favorite Donald Trump thing, though, was when people were Trumpifying their cats. Did you see that?
No.
Okay.
Oh, with the
you gotta go Google this. It's
done.
So funny. So
I'm on it.
You have to. You know those like weird little brushes where you brush a cat and that like it pulls the dander
like the hair brushes kind of.
Yeah, but it's a special one that pulls the dander off.
Okay.
And so then you have this weird fluffy kind of downy sort of little hair from the undercoat. And so you take that off the brush and you stick it on top of your cat's head and then you tweet a picture of your cat looking like Trump.
Oh, my God.
And some of them are very funny, but there's one cat in particular that's kind of this like orange tabby that clearly won the interwebs, as the kids say, because he really, he kind of is making the face and the hair is right and it's quite good.
I have Googled you can search either Trumpify or Trump your cat and all of the images are presented to you. Amy's pointing to one, what is that, top left? Oh, yeah, the second one right there. Okay, so you do the Google search and you're hitting right there. Wow, these are fantastic. And I wouldn't have thought, you know, not only is that it's a creative use of, because I'm sure a couple of these are Photoshopped. Oh, some are definitely all natural. Oh, there's a shaved cat that has a Trump hairpiece on it. Okay, don't look at all of these. And like most things Trump, these may not be safe for your children. Just check.
Also, I don't know how many cats you've been around, but like
not many
cats enjoy being decorated. Not many cats enjoy sitting still and posing for things.
Not all cats.
No. Not all cats.
Yeah, and then these ones certainly don't.
But it's not often that we see a candidate that lends itself to so many internet puns.
He's a lampoon in and of himself.
He is.
I mean, and he's made himself that way, and in a weird way he's capitalized off the caricature.
Yeah. And I mean, what we see, though, is he's still, that narrative is still going of he's a real talk guy. People are still kind of holding on to this perceived value of straight talk, when in fact, there's quite a bit of inaccurate information flowing and quite a bit of it is quite racist and quite hateful.
It's kind of, he's a real talk way in the same way that your buddy and you go to the bar and you have a couple, and then finally you find out what he really thinks about the girl you've been dating. You know, that's the kind of real talk you get from Donald Trump. It's stuff that you thought but maybe didn't respect anyway, and then really just kind of capitalizes on a lot of fear.
Definitely that.
That's what you come down with.
Definitely that, yeah.
With Donald Trump.
Yeah, definitely that.
We'll get to this too, because, and there's, like you said, there's been an endless amount of memeing and lampooning of, can I verb meme? Can I do that? Can I throw a gerund onto meme?
Sure.
All right, it's done. Of Donald Trump himself. We've got the, at 2 o'clock, we have, and I'd love to do the quiz with you, Amy.
Let's
it's
do this.
The GOP candidate quiz. Who said it? The 2016 edition. I got a couple of them right, just in screening this thing. And I feel like in an effort to, you know, to be live, we're going to do this quiz live.
You're going to quiz me.
I am.
Okay.
I am. I feel happy. I feel good about this. Kevin and I were sitting down in the office and we figured, yeah, this could be a good one. This could be a really good one.
Guth will love this.
Oh, good.
Hashtag Guth will love it. Sounds good.
We've got that fun plan for 2 o'clock. At 1:30, though, just after the 1:30 news with Ryan Burrow, we're going to talk with Dave Ennett. He is Dave Ennett. He's the voice of the Wildcats. The Northwestern football team is going to kick off against Tennessee tomorrow morning. There will be the only action going on your football screen tomorrow morning. It's going to be a really decent game between Northwestern and Tennessee. We'll talk about that. You're going to hear it all here on WGN tomorrow morning. So we got that coming up.
Right
here.
Let's
on WGN.
This. 720 WGN. Hello, it's Amy Guth and Connor McKnight. We're in for Bill and Wendy. And that song you're hearing there is the esteemed Northwestern fight song.
Go you Northwestern. It's a hot one, and hopefully you hear it a bunch tomorrow morning as the Northwestern Wildcats take on the Tennessee Volunteers in the Outback Bowl down in Tampa. It is an 11 o'clock kickoff. It's the only ball game on tomorrow morning as you're shaking things off from this evening. Dave Ennett, who does the play-by-play, the voice of the Wildcats, joins us now. He is poolside in Tampa, but will soon be hard at work tomorrow morning. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Connor. Hey, Amy. Now, I'm poolside, but I'm hard at work.
Of course I know.
You're deep into depth charts and play sheets. I know it is. I know it's right there.
You're taking one for the team. I know you are. You're working hard.
I mean, it's all part of Amy. It's all part of the bowl preparation.
Indeed, you suffer for your art. I know.
Exactly.
Well, you know, thinking about this game coming up, the first thing I think of right away is just that dry spell, right, from the 1949 Rose Bowl on, that long dry spell for Northwestern, and then this, you know, the kind of this 10 years of wins, or not wins, but, you know, 10 years of getting to the bowl. So, I mean, I'm thinking right away of fans. Do you think that the fans have gotten jaded, or they've started to expect this winning streak, or just kind of flip-flopped, or where do you fall on that?
No, I think people have maybe become a little bit accustomed to it, but I don't think they've become jaded. And I think that they're going to have a real nice turnout of fans. I know a lot of people had some travel difficulties getting down here from Chicago the last few days, but they're trickling in. They're finding a way to get here after battling their way through the security lines and delayed flights, weather delays, and what have you. And I think that, you know, it does happen, I think, to some programs that have a long history of going to bowl games. I think the fact that Northwestern went to bowls for 5 straight years and then came up one game short each of the last 2 years, and now they've had a great season, which they've won 10 games, and they have a chance to win 11 for the first time in the history of the school. Yeah, I think that's a great motivating factor for a lot of people to come down and cheer on the Wildcats tomorrow here in Tampa.
You know, Dave, for me, this season's kind of been marked by the defense. My man crush on Dean Lowry has been proclaimed many times on these airwaves. That dude's
well
going to get himself drafted.
Connor.
It really is, and kind of frightening. I apologize to Dean about that every time I can. But this defense has really, I mean, at times where the offense hasn't kind of clicked and Clayton Thorson has looked like a freshman, which has happened, that mm-hmm. defense has kept you in ball games and scored points, too. I mean, I think back to to a Duke game as well. So I wonder now, you know, when they face a Tennessee team that kind of looks like they do on offense, a quarterback that can get loose on his own, pretty good run game, what is it that needs to happen tomorrow morning for that Northwestern Wildcat defense to show up the way it has for most of this season?
Well, you know, I have a hunch that they will, and you're exactly right. I mean, these teams sort of mirror each other really on both sides of the ball and on special teams too, but they're a team that runs the ball very well, just like Northwestern. They're a team that doesn't throw for a ton of yards, just like Northwestern. But I think this Northwestern defense, even though they started the year great against Stanford and held Stanford, and we've all seen how good they turned out to be, held them to a season low and total offense and held them without a touchdown, I really believe the defense, in many respects, has gotten better as the year's gone on. And the pass rush with your man crush, Dean Lowry, and Deontay Gibson. I mean, I just think they're going to have to keep this quarterback, Joshua Dobbs at Tennessee, from getting loose, because he's a guy who's more likely to make a big play with his legs than with his arms. And that's somewhat similar to what we've seen at times from Clayton Thorson and Northwestern. I do think that Thorson has shown the ability to make a big play in the passing game. Dobbs has done that. He's even caught a long pass for a touchdown this year. So he's a threat. But I think that this defense has really developed a personality. They really pride themselves on shutting down opposing teams. And in my opinion, and people can debate this all they want, it's the best defense that Northwestern has had since the Rose Bowl team that went 8-0 in the Big Ten 20 years ago. And they've been kind of in that conversation. Now, it's a different era today in college football where teams are running the spread. They're throwing the ball all over the field. So I think to do what they've done, to be among the Big Ten leaders in scoring defense, holding their opponents down, keeping touchdowns to a minimum, holding teams out of the end zone. I think it's really impressive in this day and age.
Well, Dave, you mentioned Clayton Thorson, and I want to talk about him a little bit because he's this freshman quarterback. He has all these wins this year. I mean, tremendous, tremendous season for him. How much credit, can we give this season, or how much credit, rather, can we give to him for this season? It seems like he's done so much.
Well, Amy, he has, and I think that what he's done, and this is what's asked of a lot of freshman quarterbacks, don't turn the ball over. Make sure that you don't make the big mistake. And I think what I've seen from Clayton, first of all, he's a tremendous kid. He's from the Chicago area. He's from the western suburbs, Wheaton North. He's, I think, done a great job. And it gets to be more of a pressure situation as the season goes on. It's one thing when you're opener and then you're 2-0 and you're 3-0 and now you're 5-0 and the pressure starts to build. When you're 7-2, 8-2, and people are talking about, well, Northwestern's right on the cusp of being in a New Year's Day bowl, and you're going to Nebraska or playing in Madison against Wisconsin. Those are some pretty high-pressure situations. And what I saw from Clayton was that he cut down on the mistakes as the season went on. He learned that don't take the sack, don't throw the interception by trying to force something into double coverage. If you have to, get out of the pocket, throw the ball away, make the smart decision. And I think he did that more and more as the year went on. I'm very impressed by him, and I think he's got tremendous upside. It's never easy for a freshman quarterback, true freshman or redshirt freshman, to take his team to 10 wins. And for him to do that, and I think Pat Fitzgerald's right about this. However you want to measure a guy's performance, ultimately, on the most important position on the football field, you have to measure it in wins and losses, and certainly by that measure, Clayton Thorson has had an outstanding year.
You know the sound. It's Dave Ennett, voice of the Wildcats here on WGN. Amy Guth and Connor McKnight talk with him about the Outback Bowl coming up tomorrow morning. You mentioned the future for Clayton Thorson, and I'm with you, Dave. I think you can grow a little bit with that freshman quarterback. Let's talk a little bit about the seniors, though, who are going to be playing their last game in purple. We mentioned Dean Lowry. Dan Vitale is a guy. Over on the beat, we talk with athletic director Jim Phillips, and I told him there's always a guy on a football team that you think has actually played there for about 12 years instead of the five that they're allowed. And I'm pretty sure Dan Vitale is 33 and playing running back for Northwestern. It just seems like he's been there forever. I know Coach Fitz looks at Dan as kind of a piece of the heart and soul. It's unfortunate that Nick Van Hoose is not going to be able to play in this game, another big part of the senior leadership. You've right. watched all these guys play their 4 or 5 years at Northwestern. What can you say about this outgoing class? What kind of impact do you look for them to make in the next level?
Well, look, these guys, for the most part, are the guys who ended that bowl losing streak and that drought that extended from 1949 until New Year's Day of 2013 when they defeated Mississippi State in the Gator Bowl. And so Dan Vitale was part of that. Dean Lowry was part of that. Nick Van Hoose was part of that. And certainly it's a big loss not to have Van Hoose, who got injured a couple of weeks ago in practice. But these guys kind of changed things at Northwestern. I mean, they were the guys who were finally able to kick the door down and win a bowl game. And Dan's just a terrific kid. His younger brother played a little bit this year before he got hurt and was out for the year as a true freshman. And I think he's going to be a key player for them for the next 3 years. But Lowry is going to leave as one of the all-time leaders in tackles for loss. Deontay Gibson up there in sacks. And then you look over on the offensive line, there's some guys. I mean, Christian Jones, another guy, wide receiver, missed all of the 2014 season, came back this year coming off a torn ACL, suffered right before the 2014 season. Hasn't had huge numbers this year, and part of that's probably a function of playing with a freshman quarterback. But, these guys, I think, have meant a lot to the program, and I think that they've set a nice kind of set the groundwork for the guys coming up behind them, like the Clayton Thorsons and Justin Jacksons of the world.
So, Dave, how does it set up tomorrow? I mean, you look at the season as it was for Northwestern, and yeah, there were two tough losses against Michigan and Iowa in back-to-back weeks, but, by and large, that's a ball club that's represented itself really well, starting out the first game of the year against Stanford, like you said. you know, people think about what may have been for this team, but I think this is a squad that's really, like you mentioned, on the rise, and especially with a quarterback in Clayton Thorson. If he develops into a guy who can take some risks or knows when his talents can let him do that, I think you're looking at an offense that competes again. What's tomorrow look like for you? What's got to happen for Northwestern to come out victorious?
Well, it's funny because I was just talking to Ted Albrecht about this, and there's an element to this game that I think makes it really interesting, which is you have both teams, excellent return men. You have the top punt return guy and the top kickoff return guy in the nation for Tennessee. And you have the top kickoff return guy in the Big Ten for Northwestern in Solomon Vault. Evan Berry of Tennessee has run three kickoffs back for touchdowns this year for the Volunteers. And Cam Sutton, their punt return guy, has run a couple of punts back for touchdowns. So, you know, it just is one of those where is either team going to, I guess, blink and let the other team run one back? Because if that happens, that could really be, I think, what decides this game. Northwestern really prides itself on great special teams play, and their special teams have been very good this year. But I also remember in the Alamo Bowl many years ago against Missouri when they punted the ball to Jeremy Macklin, and everyone said, don't kick to that guy. He ran it back for a touchdown. So I think that I feel pretty good about where Northwestern is going into this game. I'm sure Tennessee feels good. I think what's maybe different about this bowl game from some others, I think both teams are really happy to be there and playing each other. I think if you look at what they've done, I mentioned the similarities. Northwestern lost to Iowa and Michigan. Two pretty good teams, right? Mm-hmm. And Tennessee lost to Alabama and Oklahoma in double overtime. And Florida, all these teams are tremendous teams, plus Arkansas. So, yeah, they didn't lose to teams that they were shocked to lose to. I mean, they lost to some of the best teams in college football. And I think that this is going to be a great game tomorrow. I still think Northwestern has shown the ability to win in tough environments, and they go to Nebraska and win. They go to Madison and win. I think that sets them up very nicely because I have a feeling there's going to be a little more orange in Raymond James Stadium tomorrow than purple just because of the proximity of Tennessee, and it's a much easier drive to get down here for people in Tennessee than obviously people who have had travel difficulties coming down from Chicago.
Definitely. I think it's going to really be an interesting game tomorrow, a very exciting one for the reasons you point out. Well, and so what are you doing the rest of today? Are you going to suffer down there in the warm weather?
Well, I think I couldn't get the massage appointment, so I'm going to let that go.
But your 18 holes of golf kicks off pretty soon, I bet.
No golf. I'm just sitting poolside working a crossword puzzle. Then I'm going to go up in a little while and watch the first of the semifinal games with Clemson and Oklahoma, then watch the Michigan State-Alabama game this evening and have a nice New Year's Eve dinner with my wife and turn in early because it's an early day tomorrow and a long day.
Enjoy yourself, Dave. I assume our pregame coverage here on WGN starts at 5 a.m. and goes all the way up to kickoff. I assume that's what we're doing.
We'll start at 10 at a more reasonable hour. I figured not a lot of people will be up New Year's morning much before then.
That works for us. Thanks, Dave. Looking forward to the broadcast. Have a great game.
Amy, Connor, thanks for having me on. Happy New Year, guys.
Absolutely.
Happy New Year
to you. Dave Ennett, voice of the Northwestern Wildcats. You know him well, and you can catch him tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock right here on WGN as the Wildcats take on Tennessee. Kicks at 11. We start the pregame for you at 10. Get you all the best you need to hear as the Wildcats take on the Volunteers. We'll be back with more. We got the GOP political Who Said It quiz at 2 o'clock. I'm quizzing Amy on what all of the Republican candidates have or have not said throughout the course of this campaign. That's at 2. We got news coming up in a couple of minutes as well. 720 WGN.
720 WGN. Hello, it's Amy Guth and Connor McKnight. We're in for Bill and Wendy, hanging out with you on this lovely New Year's Eve that is a chilly New Year's Eve. It's getting chillier by the minute, I think.
19, oof. I think, tonight is probably what the number is. Ryan will have more news on the weather. Amy, can I ask if you are planning a flight somewhere in the next handful of months in 2016 to start things out?
Several flights, yes.
Interesting. I have a way, and kind of an interesting story here, a way that you might be able to get a cheaper airfare. Have you heard of skip-lagged Com.
I have not. Tell me.
Neither did I. This is a story I picked up just this afternoon. It's all over the place. A 22-year-old kid had started a website called skiplagged.com.
Now, what skip? Spell that.
Skip, S-K-I-P-L-A-G-G-E-D.
Oh, like
skip
jet lagged. Lagged.
Yeah,
okay.
skiplagged.com. So what the website does, or at least the premise of this website, is that in order to, or in a way for getting you cheaper flights, let's say you were going to go ahead and fly to Portland.
As I do all the time.
I know you do. You want to fly to Portland. You, instead of booking a flight to Portland, maybe like a direct flight, you book a flight that has a layover in Portland, maybe like on its way to Vancouver or something mm-hmm. like that. And then you just don't take the second leg of that flight. Now, maybe that specific flight pattern doesn't work. I'm not quite sure exactly how the flight patterns work and everything. But you can apparently save yourself some money.
Really?
By booking it this way instead of the conventional, I need to go to here, so I'm going all the way to here. You just kind of get off where your layoff is and then, to hell with the rest of the flight.
Okay.
Apparently it saves you some dollars.
That's
interesting. In fact, it saves you so much money that United Airlines and Orbitz filed civil lawsuits against Akhtarir Zaman, the kid who, the 22-year-old who created this website. Those lawsuits have been dismissed in the Northern District Court here in Illinois because he didn't have jurisdiction. And it's apparently going to, wind its way around
based?
Just a little bit. He's based in New York City.
Okay.
Zaman is based in New York City. So he's essentially using this kind of, I guess it's like an engineered website, kind of like a searchable database. And he's got what I would imagine is proprietary way to search flights mm-hmm. and, get you the whole deal, kind of like a Kayak or an Orbitz does in the first place. Well, apparently they can't touch them, United Airlines or Orbitz. They were thinking they were costing them, more than like $75,000 in lost revenue. So clearly people are saving on a couple of flights here.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine, though, and from what it seems, it's got to kind of be the right trip. Like this isn't like I want to fly to Houston tomorrow. Maybe I can get something booked over and headed mm-hmm. to New Orleans or something, and I just get off in Houston. But I thought it was kind of a cool site. Had over 1 million visitors last month.
Wow. When did he launch?
I think it's like 6 months ago.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
I kind of love the stories where the underdog prevails.
Me too.
And the biggies just can't touch them.
No, Americans love that kind of stuff.
Now, my question, though, is I wonder what that does to your TSA sort of rating,
fair point.
Never, ever, ever was detained or searched or anything, and I always got through TSA relatively unscathed, no big deal. And then there was a flight cancellation in which that sort of facilitated me buying a one-way ticket to get back home.
Sure.
Just because it was like, okay, all of these on this airline are just done for the night. There's one airline still flying out. I'm going to go see if I can just get that ticket. And
right.
I did. And I got a one-way ticket and just got back home. That cost me so much grief because as soon as I got that one-way ticket, I had another flight a couple of weeks later. And the next probably 3 or 4 flights, I ended up getting searched. Like stuff dumped out of my suitcase, at one point taken into a room, patted down. At one point, they took my pants and x-rayed them and left me in the room. It was terrible. It was really, really upsetting.
What can possibly be in a pair of pants that necessitates an x-ray off of the pants?
They did that thing where they swipe your hands.
I know that thing.
And I didn't pass it. And I was like, well, I have perfume on. I'm a lotion addict.
It could be any number of things.
What is it?
Yeah.
And they couldn't figure out what it was. So they were like, we need your clothes. And I was like, you're not getting my clothes.
Yeah, no,
that's not
the answer to that question.
I was like, you can have my hoodie, but I'm keeping the shirt.
Thank you.
You can have my shoes. You ain't get my clothes. So they finally, they were like, we need you have pockets in your jeans, so we have to have those. So I was like, okay,
everyone has pockets in it. This wasn't a unique thing.
I know, I don't have
like you were the only person wearing jeans with pockets.
I ended up like holding one of the trays in front of myself and giving them my pants. It was really horrifying. So I'm saying, had I known that I was going to be searched at LAX like that,
you probably wouldn't have taken the one-way flight.
I would have been like, you know what? I'm going to crash in a hotel and start this tomorrow and not worry. Yeah, I'm good.
It's a fair question. It's ridiculous that you had to get the pants x-rayed. Sorry about that. I hope the pants held up. I know that's, some of you got to be delicate in the wash.
They brought them back and they were like, you're free to go. Like, what? What happened? Okay. Like, no explanation of
really?
What?
Yeah. Yeah, right, exactly. Here's what we were looking for in your pants. We didn't find any evidence of these substances or objects,
and
everything's fine.
Else.
It's our bad. Or it would have been worse, like, they bring the pants back. Yeah, the x-ray machine's broken. Just the hell with it. Come on in.
Yeah, right. I mean, it was all bad.
At least it worked.
But I really think it was, I don't think it's quite really so random. I think you are kind of selected. If you take a one-way flight, if you miss a flight, if you do not make it onto a flight, I think then you're kind of flagged to get a little extra attention at TSA.
I would imagine that's definitely the case. I assume that a website like this probably has been, you know, tagged for things like that too.
I'm sure.
And I'm sure it's
be
being looked at. Yeah, absolutely.
So we'll have to keep an eye on skiplagged.com.
That's the one.
I love the guys winning.
News coming up in 2 minutes with Ryan Burrow here on WGN.
Woo! 720 WGN. Amy Guth and Connor McKnight in for Bill and Wendy, hanging out with you on this chilly New Year's Eve day.
So I saw this earlier this morning, and I said to myself, self, Amy Guth's going to love this quiz. Because if there's one thing I know about Amy Guth in the 2 days that we've done radio together, it's that you love quizzes. Do you like quizzes?
Sure.
All right. And that this would just kind of be fun. This is, MSNBC put it out, it is the Who Said It 2016 GOP Candidate Edition quiz. So
I'm totally in.
As we transition from 2015 to 2016, Ben Carson's got himself a whole new band. You know, we figured might as well take a look back at what we saw in the last year and try to figure out what the hell's going to happen in the next year. We'll figure out our resolutions here in the 2 o'clock hour, let you know exactly what we're planning on doing and or changing, or just, you know, maybe just plowing through 2016 the same way. But
sure,
you got to live back with what was happening in the political realm. So Joseph
Meese
wrote
lot.
This. It really has been a lot.
I mean, I think this is an interesting election just because it's been a bit more of a circus than usual already. And we're just now stepping into the election year proper.
And really just, yeah, and just beginning to whittle down on either side of the aisle exactly who's going to challenge, mm-hmm, you know, each other across the aisle.
And I never recall, I love to ask people, okay, if the vote is today, who you got? And I've never been met with so many blank stares. People go, I don't know.
Can I pass?
Yeah, they're like,
I'd like to pass.
Skip me. Come back in
can
4 years.
Can we revisit the whole term limit thing and just maybe like wipe that out?
Like, I don't know.
I know people don't, I mean, there's not necessarily a huge rise of support for Barack
anyone.
Obama, but maybe a third term wouldn't be the worst thing in the world
right,
with some of the things you've got out here on both, again, on both sides
indeed,
of the aisle. So here's the little write-up for it, and I thought it was done pretty well. Maybe it'll call to mind some of the things we saw in 2015 too. Donald Trump made headlines yet again last week for a derogatory comment, this time a sexually explicit phrase about Hillary Clinton's loss to President Obama in the 2008 Democratic primary. In 2015 alone, the GOP frontrunner had already called Mexican immigrants rapists, alluded to menstruation when talking about Fox News host Megyn Kelly, and proposed a ban on Muslims from entering the country. But while Trump's comments often dominated the news cycle this year, he wasn't the only Republican candidate who raised eyebrows and made me ask Amy Guth, say what, in 2015? Here it is. Your first question. These are all multiple choice. So
oh,
if
good.
You know it, fire off right away.
Okay.
If you want the four choices, not a problem whatsoever. We'll
all
go
right
through them. This is the first quote. The likelihood of Hitler being able to accomplish his goals would have been greatly diminished if the people had been armed. Your four choices are Ben Carson, Ted Cruz, Mike Huckabee, or Rick Santorum?
I would not have guessed any of those.
Interesting. Yeah, I think we are in a Trump-free zone here with all of these questions, which I like, because now we got to get into the nitty-gritty of things.
I also have to point out, I don't think I've ever in my life heard Hitler referenced so much in politics as
all
I have
time
in the last year.
What's the internet corollary where on any given discussion page, the productive discussion is gone as soon as someone mentions Hitler? Like, that's it's a law.
I can't remember the guy's name, but it is
it's like
a comment thread will only go X number of minutes before someone says Nazi.
There it is. It's like it's something like the Murphy's Law or Occam's Razor of internet comment.
Of internet
feeds.
Comment.
Yeah,
yes. Okay. Run through the four real quick.
Ben Carson, Ted Cruz, Mike Huckabee, or Rick Santorum?
I'm going to go, gosh, I'm torn between the last two, but I'm going to go Huckabee on that.
It was Ben Carson, the guy who ditched his campaign manager and communications director.
Just today.
You know, you start to wonder if things like that weren't the reason why. This is the best part too, because it kind of recaps. The candidate said he didn't mean to diminish the enormity of the Holocaust with that statement. I'm not sure we need $500 million for women's health issues. Quote number two, I'm not sure we need $500 million for women's health issues. Jeb Bush, Carly Fiorina, Marco Rubio or Rick Santorum?
That's got to be Santorum.
Ooh.
He is terrified of lady parts.
It was not. Just in general, just specifically, that is his one fear. Like Superman has kryptonite and the Green Lantern can't face the color yellow. For Rick, it's
lady parts, lady petals. Nope,
it was in fact Jeb Bush. Bush walked back the comments on Twitter where he said he would absolutely defund Planned Parenthood.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There you go. Question number three, quote number three.
This is doing well so far. Okay.
Yeah, I think you're going to rally here. Does it occur to Jay-Z that he is arguably crossing the line from husband to pimp by exploiting his wife as a sex object?
Wow.
Yes. This is in a presidential debate. we are talking about Jay-Z and man and husbands crossing the line from spouse to pimp. That's our conversation right now.
Not just any husband, but possibly the most envied husband in the world.
No, definitely.
Definitely.
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. No, we took a poll. All of us, we got together. We voted Jay-Z in this year.
I've never, ever, ever heard anyone go, meh, Beyonce. I've never heard a guy go, meh, she's okay looking. No. She's the woman of all women. Yeah. Okay, what are
she's
my choices on that one?
Ben Carson, Chris Christie, Ted Cruz, or Mike Huckabee? And I feel like in the interest of fair play, I should tell you that it could have been something this candidate written as well.
Hmm.
This candidate wrote. Conjugate verbs.
So that makes me think Christie.
Mike Huckabee.
God, I'm not doing well.
His comments appeared in his book. Wait, really? Mike Huckabee wrote a book called Gods, Guns, Grits, and Gravy.
Long pause.
That's where these comments came from.
The four G's.
Long pause here.
That title was thrown out in lieu of Gods, Guns, Grits, and Gravy.
And here's the thing. You probably go through about 30 titles before you arrive at a title for a marketable book.
What title lost to Gods, Guns, Grits, and Gravy?
I want
to
see that whiteboard.
Oh, that'd be amazing. No, we can't. That's too much. Let's get down.
Wow.
What do we really need to get down to? What's Mike Huckabee really writing a book about?
So that's not even a thing where you can say, like, oh, I just said it off the cuff. That's not what I meant. Or, no. You wrote that, and it went through a copy editor.
And a spell check.
For sure. And a marketing team. So you meant that.
As a rhetorical question, too, in a book.
Nobody's asking a rhetorical question to his readers of a book.
Oh, that's fantastic. All right, question four of the Who Said It 2016 GOP Candidates
right
Edition.
Yet.
Okay.
Hit me.
So this quote was said to a dog. It's much more legible than to a dog.
I like where this is going.
You know, President Obama ate one of your cousins. Vote Republican.
Right now, producer Kevin Richter and I are just staring at each other with like a blank expression of what did I just hear?
Here's the thing. You already heard it from a GOP candidate, from a presidential candidate this year.
Okay.
It's been said.
What are my choices? I mean, who are my choices?
Ben Carson, Chris Christie, Carly Fiorina, or Rick Santorum?
I got to go Carson on that.
It was Carly Fiorina. Fiorina referenced a passage in President Obama's memoir in which he discusses eating dog meat in Indonesia as a child.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He ate one of your cousins.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. I need a minute on that one.
Oh, take a minute. Take as many as you need. That kind of thing sets you back a few. That kind of thing makes you want to, I don't know, turn the date on a calendar.
She is going to lose us the vote,
I swear. Oh, it's going to be an issue. Yep. Going to be an issue.
Wow.
A lot of people, 40% voted Chris Christie on this, or guessed Chris Christie.
Yeah.
Another 40% said Rick Santorum. 20% came up with Carly Fiorina.
Because it's so fantastically weird. You think that's a slam dunk for Carson after the little pyramid thing.
Oh, absolutely. The little pyramid thing.
I can't even.
Pyramids are fairly large.
Give it.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Lord have mercy.
So I've got question five, question six, and seven and eight. I don't know if you'd like to take a break, step away, you know, kind of gather yourself.
Yeah, I feel like I need to stretch and do some jumping jacks.
Maybe a cigarette or something outside. I mean, this has been
kind
of taxing.
I don't smoke, but it might be a good time
this
to start.
This is the time. This is what starts. And then in 2016, we can all stop together. That's what we might need.
Right. And then I will like start the year with a resolution already won. That'll be great. Okay. I'm going to start smoking.
I will no longer read Who Said It quizzes from any presidential year.
Wow. Amazing.
We'll be right back with more, believe it or not, here on 720 WGN.
720 WGN. Amy Guth, Connor McKnight, in for Bill and Wendy. Happy New Year's Eve to you. In New Year's Eve, new tradition, I suppose.
A new tradition, yeah.
Because that's a thing.
A brand new tradition that we're starting right now.
It is the...
Time-honored.
It's the first annual GOP Who Said It quiz.
Mm-hmm.
The New Year's Eve GOP Who Said It quiz that I so far have not gotten any right because I've mostly been... My brain just turns to mush after you say the quote.
Yeah. I feel like that's kind of the effect this is probably taking. We're through four, and we've got four more to go. I have... complete confidence.
I thank you.
That you're going to get one of the last four for sure. I can tell you though that it gets crazier.
All right.
I mean, we've heard some crazy already.
So
it does
get
crazier.
We've heard Jay-Z called a pimp.
Yes.
Carly Fiorina has talked to a dog. She thinks all dogs are cousins and that Obama eats them.
That's my favorite part is that Carly Fiorina may think that all dogs are cousins.
poodles, wolves, all of it.
All of them. Same thing. Doesn't matter. All the same. And question five, we continue. This quote, again, for those of you just tuning in, this quote is from one of the GOP candidates. It was actually said and or written by the candidate. And we're just going through trying to find out exactly what we heard and who said it and wrote it.
I like to think that I'm into politics, that I'm politically savvy, that I'm on top of things.
Mm-hmm.
I have not gotten a single one of these right yet because they're so mind-boggling.
In fairness, we're picking some. You know, they've picked some that are a little out of context to try and goofy a little bit.
Sure.
I mean, they're looking for that. The quiz doesn't go well if you get 100% right.
That's true.
Because then you don't send it along to your friends
on
Facebook.
Right.
This quote reads as such. Income inequality is due to some people working harder and selling more things. If people voluntarily buy more of your stuff, you'll have more money. Did your head just explode?
Thanks, Captain Obvious. You're a lifesaver. All right.
Your choices are Jeb Bush, Chris Christie, Rand Paul, his first appearance here on the quiz.
Oh, that guy, yeah.
Or Marco Rubio. Jeb Bush, Chris Christie, Rand Paul, or Marco Rubio.
Man.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
This is a tough one.
This is easily the toughest.
Because I feel like a version of that has been said by several of these candidates.
Definitely. Well, because, and that's where I thought maybe this quiz would get really tough because there is, you know, there are some like Democrats and Republicans alike all have kind of talking points and themes throughout the whole thing. It's why we've got a, you know, two-party legislature. But this is, you know, you figured this would be one of them.
I'm torn between Jeb Bush and Rand Paul. I'm going to go.
Your instincts are right. Your lifeline has already worked.
I know. I've used my one lifeline. I guess I'm going to go Jeb.
It was Rand.
Dang.
It was Rand. Rand Paul made the comments while discussing his tax plan with Fox News Sunday host Chris Wallace.
Sell more things.
Just voluntarily. People will voluntarily buy more things if you sell more things.
On Etsy.
I think so. Maybe Pinterest. Can you sell things on Pinterest?
You can advertise the price, but then it has to go to your site.
I gotcha. I find this Pinterest thing to be fairly interesting. Maybe that's going to be my resolution for 2016.
Get yourself on Pinterest.
Get into Pinterest.
Okay, follow Scott Kleinberg, the social media editor of the Tribune. He has used Pinterest in fascinating ways. My favorite way is that because when you pin pins on a Pinterest board, so you say, this is my board about X topic.
Yeah.
And that can be anything. They have to stay in the order in which you pin them. You can't move the pins around and rearrange them. So he did one called We Didn't Start the Fire, and it's every single item on the Billy Joel song We Didn't Start the Fire, but he did it backwards so that it would, as you read through the Pinterest board, it starts with like Dylan, Berlin, Bay of Pigs Invasion, Lawrence of Arabia, British Beatlemania, whatever, it goes through the whole thing perfectly.
I feel like you know all the words to that song.
Because I have told so many people about his Pinterest board looked at it many times.
That's always a great bar bet is you know, one of your friends will end up saying that I know all the lyrics to X song, and then you just have to make them prove it. That's the only thing left to do that night is make sure that song plays in the jukebox and
I don't know about
it.
A song, but I often claim that I know all the dialogue in Raising Arizona or in Fargo.
You're kidding me.
I often say that.
Really?
Yeah.
Could you recite? I mean, I'm not going to make you do it now.
There's
we only have so much show left.
None of them can be said on the air.
Yeah, that's probably right. Yeah, those are two movies you can't really recite. Okay, question number six. This one's going to be a winner. My own personal theory is that Joseph built the pyramids to store grain.
All
the archaeologists.
I know this one. Call me.
Amy Guth in the back here at WGN Radio.
Carson.
Ben Carson is your winner there. Carson further argued that hermetically sealed compartments wouldn't be needed for a sepulcher. That's just your money
quote
there.
One time my Wikipedia page said for about 2 or 3 days that I was a superhero.
Really?
In the vein of let's just make things up.
I'd believe it. I think your superpower would be doing all the dialogue from Fargo.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Question seven. We need to figure out a way to phase out Medicare for others and move to a new system that allows them to have something.
I think they all said that.
I think they may have all said that. Your choices are Jeb Bush, Ted Cruz, Carly Fiorina, or Rand Paul. We need to figure out a way to phase out Medicare for others and move to a new system that allows them to have something. There has been one, if I recall, and I forgive me if I've misspoken, but there has been one Republican candidate who's been pushing on the Medicare thing more often than others, or at least that's what it seems in some of the sound bites, if that helps give a little bit of a clue there.
Hmm.
Jeb Bush, Ted Cruz, Carly Fiorina, Rand Paul.
Gosh, I feel like they've all said some version of that. And what is sticking out to me is the word them. Because I really love when people talk about other groups of people as a they or mm-hmm. a them, because that sounds inclusive as all get out. Let's go Cruz on that. He hasn't been an answer yet, no.
Jeb.
Gosh,
it was
Jeb.
Bush made the comments at a New Hampshire event sponsored by the Koch brothers, Americans for Prosperity.
See, it was the them that threw me because he has done that least of all.
Jeb has done the fewest thems.
I feel like he's done the fewest thems.
Really?
Yes.
I think I would agree with that. Now, thinking about it and anecdotally, I would agree with that.
I think that kind of started when he, like, remember for a little while, he like, there was a controversy over he checked under ethnicity on a form.
Yes.
Right? He checked Hispanic.
Right.
And he got a little bit of grief for that. I feel mm-hmm. like he doesn't tend to talk in exclusive language too much. So that's what threw me about that.
Okay.
One.
No, that's a fairly reasonable thing. Although unless you think I'm wrong, I think Jeb has kind of pushed on the Medicare thing more often
than
others.
Probably fair. Yeah. That's probably fair. Okay. But I feel like I've heard it a lot from all of them.
Oh, definitely. No doubt about it. Well, like we said, I mean, there's going to be themes here. All right. Final question. This one's a good one. Well, you have one.
Oh, I did. That's
yes,
right. I got the Carson one.
Yeah. Ben Carson
Slam
believes
dunk.
That the, anyway, this one's pretty good. I want a government so small, I can barely see it. Ben Carson, Chris Christie, Rand Paul, Marco Rubio.
Okay, Rubio, Christie, who else?
Carson and Rand Paul.
Oh, man, that so sounds like Paul, but I feel like we haven't heard from Christie yet. And he likes to talk about that, and he likes to write those op-eds. I'm gonna go Rand Paul.
Yeah, it is Rand Paul,
yes.
Indeed. Yeah, well, you mean sometimes you can just kind of feel this thing going, I want a government so small I can barely see it. The Kentucky senator made the comments during the third GOP debate. Not too shabby. I mean, really,
not
when it comes
shabby.
Down to it, not so bad. I only got two right myself. I
All
had
right.
the first one right where Ben Carson was talking about the likelihood of Hitler being able to accomplish his goals had the population been armed.
Sure.
And then, of course, there's, you know, that whole thing. I think it's funny, though. Think
I'm
about
still
this.
Stuck on the Beyonce pimp one. I
the
can't
one,
get past
oh,
that
Oh, I mean, Huckabee's book? I can't believe Huckabee's book was named God's Guns, Grits, and Gravy. I had no idea.
Leave grits out of this. Grits are delicious, man.
Grits are pretty tasty. I like the I'm doing the apple butter grits. I'm an apple butter guy. Yeah, throw the apple butter in the grits.
What?
Yeah. That's how they got served me at the Waffle House in Memphis. That's all I'm
no,
telling you.
No, sir.
Am I wrong?
Yes.
Free to tell me. I'm
butter,
okay being wrong.
Butter, salt, and cheddar cheese.
Those are the only. Done. Can I go without the cheese in the grits, or do I have to have the cheese in the grits?
You kind of have to do that.
Okay.
Unless it's replaced by double butter, like a lot, like a whole ice cream scoop of butter. That's
I feel
thing.
Educated now, and I feel good about it. I feel
right,
better
good.
About my grits.
Kevin, how many of those would you have gotten right? Playing along? You could have
Zero.
Just said, you could have said all.
Yeah, I mean, there's. I would have gotten none of those right.
Eight. You would have gone 8 for 8, I think.
Yeah.
I think it's funny the ones we absolutely knew for sure between you and I were Ben Carson ones, and he just fired his communication director and his business manager.
Right.
Like today.
So we probably will know a few less.
You would imagine.
After you would think today. After hearing some of these that maybe some others should fire their communications directors as well.
Yeah.
Or at least their book editors.
Or the book editors, because again, no one calls Jay-Z a pimp, and no one disses Beyonce.
Well, and not gets away with it. I mean, Huckabee's unelectable based on the comments merely
Rude.
About Beyonce,
Rude.
If anything else. We're going to get back to it. We got the news coming up in 2 minutes with Ryan Burrows here on WGN.
WGN 720. Hello, it's Amy Guth and Connor McKnight. We're hanging out in for Bill and Wendy today on this lovely but chilly New Year's Eve day. How's it going, everybody?
So, it's New Year's time.
It is.
And
people
we
do stuff.
People do stuff. People do the party. People do the events and the champagne. And some people do the Chi-Town Rising Star right here on Michigan and Wacker.
And sometimes it's someone that I haven't seen in like years. It just walks by the studio and waves at me and I don't even know what to say next.
Really?
That woman right there.
Okay.
I haven't seen her in ages.
Do you need a minute? You need to gather yourself?
We're good. No.
You want to go say hi?
No, we're good.
We just ring her on the air if you feel like you're doing it.
She's got stuff going.
Oh, that's
she's
cool.
Blowing kisses and waving. She's good.
Former
colleague at the Tribune.
Well, that's a story
there
we have
go.
To get into then.
Indeed.
Okay, so you do the resolution thing. I mean, this is the time of year where if you haven't, you know, either decided to make a resolution or, yeah, I mean, you're in crunch time now. I mean, we've talked about it. The countdown's been happening for all day. It's under 24 hours. You got to get your life together for 2016. Otherwise, you know, when else are you going to do it?
Or as we were thinking in the last segment, everybody start smoking now so you can quit and start the year in victory.
Exactly. There's no way the claws get into you that quickly. You'd be able to quit, kit the habit, you know, by at least January 15th if you're just having four or five tonight.
Smoking's the worst.
Oh, gross. It really is. It's gross. I regret the 6 months, 9 months I spent doing it. It was a terrible idea.
Yeah.
Awful. But, you know, that's college and you're 20 and you're an idiot.
Sure. So do you have a resolution?
I have decided for the first time in quite some time to have a resolution. For some reason the whole scheme kind of makes me weird. Like this is the one time of year we're allowed to like change our lives or we're supposed to, you know, finally put something down a new slate. I don't know, it seems a little disingenuous to me, but at the same time it's why is change for the better not a good thing whenever you do it?
Right.
So I've decided this, Amy, I have a really bad habit of coming into, you know, to do the Rokan show in the afternoon. I get in and instead of, you know, making myself something healthy at home and like bringing it to work, thereby saving me money and saving me, you know, just eating healthier
and
feeling better.
Your life.
And that part, I go spend, you know, $14 on a God knows what burger with the everything on it and a Coke. So
every
I decided
day,
a lot. Many more times than I ought to. And with the Saturday show too, you know, I'm often found, and this probably won't probably change, but you know, I like hitting the Billy Goat for a quick, you know, burger and walk in.
Well, you have to have
Saturday.
A cheat day.
You have to have one of those. Mine's going to be Saturday.
Okay.
So I've decided I am actually going to, as a single guy, I'm going to stock the fridge. I am going to actually cook for myself and I'm going to bring these things in to work and, you know, have myself a lunch at least 4 days a week.
That's a great resolution.
I feel like it's a pretty good one in that, you know, it's going to make me, it's going to
save
teach
money.
Me a new skill.
So you don't cook now?
I do cook, but just not enough as I probably should. You know, I cook, I have like the 9 things that I cook and I do them all really well.
Mm-hmm.
I have 9 things.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't like a sardine sandwich and I happen to. I know.
Let's expand that to like 15 things.
I would love to get to 25.
Yeah.
You know,
good.
And just have those things in and rolling them over. I feel like a lot of people have done this resolution. So it's not like I'm out on a limb and doing something totally crazy.
And it's not something that hard. I mean, that's not this crazy idea. You're not like climbing Everest in the next month. You're
exactly. Like, and there's a lot of places, because there's a lot of people who have done it, there's a lot of places I can look for like, you know, help. Like, oh, cook this, or this is a great idea, or here's how, buy this Tupperware because it doesn't fall apart in your bag. Like, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I feel like this is a good idea with resolutions.
That's
do something that's, you know, somewhat off the beaten path, but at least leave yourself some, you know, some support one way or the other.
Well, I think it's important that you have a good reason for it, because there will be days where it's not easy to do. And
yes.
So if you have a good reason, like a driving passion behind it or something like that, then it'll be easy to stick to it. And then, as you say, if other people have done this, you can learn from them.
And I know that there's going to be days where I show up and I haven't eaten anything or I forgot to cook something and, you know, I hit the Billy Goat for a double extra cheese, Coke, and fries. Chips, no fries.
Sure.
But I'm fine with that. You know, I can live with that once a week.
And you move on.
You do.
And then the next day you cook and you're fine.
Drop the page and then you make your bowl of really healthy chili and you bring it in for 3 days. I think that's how you go around it. That's mine for the year.
That's a really good one.
I started for about a month before the holidays, and then the holidays happened, and I ate butter, sugar, and chocolate for 6 weeks. and then yesterday was the day I stopped doing that, and now I'm going to, you know, really kick things around.
Okay.
It's amazing how that whole thing happens, too. Thanksgiving starts, like the 4 days before Thanksgiving starts, and then your diet just changes to butter and chocolate and sugar and turkey.
See, I don't really have a sweet tooth, and I really do not like chocolate.
You are blessed.
You are
absolutely blessed.
What I lack in sweet tooth, though, I have never met a tortilla chip that I did not love.
Sure,
right?
Gotta do it.
So it's all about salt. Like and like when we think about like emotional eating or something like that, I want food that sounds aggressive. So if I'm mad, I'm like, I need to crunch, and I need to like hurt the chip and bite it, right?
So you have to substitute the Tostitos for like a carrot or something like that.
I keep both of those things all the time.
Do you?
I have like loud, aggressive food.
That's
that
like
I,
a real physical thing for you. That's really interesting. That's genuinely
interesting.
So if
you see me walking around eating carrots, you're like, you should know. Like,
get out the Guth's way.
Guth's got something to say.
Because otherwise the carrots are coming down.
She's got something to say. Yeah. But I really don't have much of a sweet tooth. And I like chocolate and it does not taste good.
That is lucky of you.
And people say the weirdest thing. People act like I'm from another planet when I say it. They're like,
it is
but
strange.
You're a woman. All women like chocolate. No, I don't like chocolate.
That's kind of dumb. But everyone likes chocolate. I mean, it is rare that people don't like it.
I know.
You're aware of that.
Yeah.
That's strange.
Yeah.
That's cool though.
Even like that chocolate Blommers, the chocolate factory, you know, there's that map of where you can smell the chocolate in the city.
I could draw it for you, I think.
I cannot stand it when I run into it.
Really?
I'm like, I'll cross the street because I don't even want to smell it.
Oh, man. I was working out at the other shop across the river. Mm-hmm. You know, you'd walk out at like 12:30 at night, you know, and you finish the night show. And that's when
sure.
I think it's really strong. At night in the winter, I feel like it's always the really
strong
smell.
Well, I used to live in kind of the west edge of River North, and you can smell it there.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, ugh, put a towel under the door.
Really?
I can't even deal with it.
Oh, God, I love the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I wonder what that is.
I don't know.
If you have a go-to sweet thing, what's the dessert?
Lemon anything. Lemon cake, lemon bars. Look, Kevin is making a face at me like I just like shot at him. I mean, really, he's like, lemon, how dare you?
I just got really burnt out on lemon salt. I feel like my mom, like for 3 days a week for my entire, you know, teenage youth, made lemon pepper everything.
Well, chicken. Not for savory, but for sweet.
Yeah.
For sweet. My my uncle, when he got married a few years ago, his wife was so outraged by how she's like, everyone in your family likes the most boring things. You all eat vanilla ice cream. What's the matter with you? She thought we were the most bland, weird people ever.
There's a special place in my heart for vanilla ice cream.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a flavor to it that's better than just, it's not just
it's the best thing
vanilla,
ever.
Like vanilla
it's
beans.
Not boring.
Oh, God,
and we should stop saying vanilla as boring. When people
really?
Say, oh, so-and-so so vanilla. No, that means awesome.
Either we take back the word? Like we take the power from it?
Reclaim
it. Like, is that what we have to do with vanilla? I don't understand.
Oh, my God. We've lost our minds. I swear the champagne is not out yet, my friends. Amy Guth, Connor McKnight, we are hanging out. At 3 o'clock, we're going to turn things over to Brian Noonan, who is in for Rokan. We'll be right back in just a bit on 720 WGN. Amy Guth and Connor McKnight in for Bill and Wendy on this chilly but lovely New Year's Eve day. Happy New Year to all of you.
Can we call it cold and crisp? I think we're in that kind
let's
of territory.
Do that. Yeah, let's do that. People are quite bundled up.
They are. They're bundled up. The star for Chi-Town Rising is lit and dancing and doing its whole thing.
Sparkling just for us.
You know, we got to hand it to that star. It does a lot more than it looks like it did earlier this morning. Like when we got in here at 11, it was just
like
kind of
a
star.
Tie.
Yeah,
glue. It does stuff.
It's exactly what it looked like.
Yeah.
It was a clip-on, but now it does
it's
a lot
sparkly.
Of things, and it's got lights, and it's got a whole LED display, and that's kind of cool. Amy and I were just kind of going over some of the New Year's things that you do. I'm making a resolution for the first time in a real long time.
It's a good one.
Not all that complicated, but yeah, I'm hoping it works out for
cook
me.
Cook more, bring kind of, food. That's
yeah,
a great one.
Be a little healthier and be a little thriftier and in so doing, learn some things.
Sure.
So I was kind of hoping that works out for me in 2016. I know you've had your own experience with New Year's resolutions in years past, and you're kind of doing one this year. But
I like the resolution. I mean, I like New Year's Eve because it feels like kind of a clean slate. Like everybody gets a fresh start.
Okay.
You know, so I like that feeling. I don't necessarily like the clubby amateur night atmosphere.
I mean,
not a fan of that.
I
don't like that.
That is not a great way to ring in another 365 days to me.
And that doesn't necessarily feel celebratory to me. I think like there's special versus celebratory, you know. And I think like marking the night with like a nice dinner with friends or something like that. That's special.
Something a little more meaningful in the like spiritual sense, almost.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Definitely starting out. Okay,
absolutely. So a few years ago, my grandfather will often say like on your birthday or on some holiday or something, some milestone, he'll say, what did you do this year the most? What are you going to do next year? He always says it.
Okay.
And he pointed out to me, and here's a man who's almost 100 years old, pointed out to me that my answer had been about the same for the last 4 years.
Really?
I was like, oh, I'm doing all this great stuff at work and it's so fun. And he was like, you know what? You should probably get a life. And I feel like if a 100-year-old man tells you to get a life, you should do it.
Yeah, you probably ought to listen.
Yeah. So he challenged me. He's like, you should just pick 100 new things that you've never done and go do them. Just make a point. Go do them.
100 new things.
And I blew through them really fast. So I ended
up
making a list of 1,000 things I had never done and decided I would try to do as many as I could in 1 year. This was a handful of years ago. And I ended up doing about 788 of them.
How long did it take you to make a list of 1,000 things you'd never done?
Well, it was
done?
Ongoing. And things would just occur to me, and I would just jot it down and add them later.
Okay, so in my head, I'm thinking that like you sat down for
a week.
And like didn't leave until you got to 1,000 things.
No,
which I realize now would be
stupid. I came up with 10 really fast, and some were easy. Like, you know what? I've never had a cocktail out of a pineapple. Easy enough. I can figure that out. That's pretty easy. Yeah, so I got
that
done.
And you can do that yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, you just get the pineapple.
I've never made ketchup from scratch. I've never made marshmallows from scratch. So some of them were making.
Those are great.
Like, I don't know how to knit, so I learned how to knit. So
do you still knit?
No, but I
but
made,
you could.
I made a lovely scarf that I wear all the time.
There you go.
And so I was like, that was angst. That was drama. I'm never doing it again, but now I know. But it also, it made me, that's how I got started in martial arts.
Okay.
Because I was like, I'm going to take a self-defense class. And I took one, and it was the greatest thing I'd ever done. So I kept going. Now I do it a lot.
I'm seeing the benefit of this list now because, mm-hmm. you know, you burn through 778 of these things?
88 or 89 or so, yeah.
You know, a couple of them are just experiences, but a handful of them stick and then become your new traditions.
Exactly. Because
that's what we're calling the show. It's a new tradition.
It's a theme
Those
here.
Things
yeah.
happen.
Yeah. So some of it was just kind of like a dip your toe in the water and try something. Because that way you're not necessarily committing to, I'm going to learn a martial art from start to finish and become really, really good at it. I was like, I just need to take one class.
I'm going to fight Ronda Rousey in next year's UFC 135.
That was the result that I got. No.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
But, you know.
Amy Guth is Holly Holm. That's, there you go. New Year's special.
Nope. But I have had to use it twice out in the world. And I was darn glad that I had it.
Yeah, I would imagine. Useful skill.
Both leaving the station, I would like to point out.
Wow.
Both leaving work. But, you know, it was like a way to just kind of like dip your toe in and check something out. And so I was like, okay, I knitted that. I don't need to knit again. But that was interesting. Now I know how to do it. Good.
Yeah.
So if there's like an apocalypse and I need a scarf, I can do it
or
if I need to.
If you're ever on a show talking about knitting, I mean, you could do the knitting hour. If you had to, you know about
an
these
hour.
Things.
I'd hate to take that from Kevin Richter. He's such an accomplished knitter.
Is he really?
Don't even think about it. No, I don't knit at all.
I have no idea.
No.
He's like knitting right now
He's
during the
right
show.
Now. He's making scarves for
how
both
he passes
of us.
His time. The log is actually knitted on the Bill and Wendy show, and we had no idea.
It's knitted.
The commercial log.
You know, some of them were books I hadn't read that was like, we all have that cultural blind spot of the book we were supposed to read in high school and didn't.
Absolutely. We've all missed one. Yeah. You know, like I moved and never read. Oh, God, what was the book I ever read? Grapes of Wrath. Never read it.
Oh, good book.
We had just finished, or we were just about to start it at the school I was at. We moved to the one, and they had just finished it. And like, well, we're not going back. Here's To Kill a Mockingbird.
Right. So, you know, I went back and did stuff like that. Some of it was cooking related.
Okay.
Let's see. Some of it was travel. Some things that are still on the list I just haven't done yet, but I'm going to get there.
I have never been out of the country.
All right. Well, let's get a bucket list started for you.
That's definitely something I ought to start.
Yeah.
I went to Montreal once for like 3 days, but I don't know if that necessarily counts.
That's like Upper Maine.
Yeah, pretty much. But the gambling there, Jamie, is 18, and I was 18 in 4 days. So
where would you go if you had any trip
ahead
of you?
I've always wanted to go back to, like, I'd love to go do the trace the family history thing, like through Ireland or through Scotland, that kind of thing.
Sure.
I think that'd be awesome. Plus, here's a little known fact. Castles are awesome, and I probably should go see one or two, and there's just not many of them here in the States.
Not outside of Disney World, there's none.
What, isn't there one in like Tennessee somewhere? I feel like somebody around Knoxville like had all the flagstones and stuff like shipped in. They
isn't there
the
a club down the street called Castle?
Yeah, been there. Nice spot. Not an actual castle, believe it or not.
False advertising.
I wore my suit, my coat of armor, and
it
was just turned away at the door. It had a Nike swoosh on the downside, so I wasn't able to come in.
No. Well, you should do that.
I should.
I think traveling is a valuable experience for many, many reasons. Like it's enriching and it expands your mind and it makes you come back with different perspective.
Friends who have come back from trips of varying degrees, like with their lives changed.
Yes.
Just as to how they look at the world.
And I think traveling solo is a very interesting and valuable experience. You should just go do it, like pick a country and just go walk around and check it out for a few days just by yourself and it'll change your life.
That would terrify me.
Oh, it's so good for you.
No, here's why. I'm a huge Star Wars fan, and I really needed to go see it with someone, because if I didn't see it with somebody, then I thought I wouldn't be able to turn to someone and talk to about it afterward. So I had to go see it with somebody. And I would feel the same way about traveling like in Europe. Like if I couldn't turn to someone and talk about the Ionic Columns out in front of the Colosseum, like
if you couldn't turn around and say, look at that castle.
Like,
then
oh my God, let's talk
real?
About this. Yeah, I can't.
Well,
I can't
just put it on Instagram and talk. Like we'll comment on your Instagram.
That's how people who dine alone talk about their food.
I do it all the time.
It's the
same
way. All right.
It's fine. There's no shame in it.
You know, that's a brand new perspective on Instagramming food now too, that you've just taught me. I looked down on the Instagramming of the food pictures.
Mm. I'm like looking away because I may have just Instagrammed a bowl of ramen last night. Whatever.
Like a bowl, like a, the Maruchan, the 98 cent one?
No, okay, no.
The good ramen.
No, no, the good stuff.
Yeah, with like the egg and the pulled pork and the whatnot in there.
Yeah.
I just got turned on to that a couple weeks ago. It's great.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe I should learn how to make that. You think I'd make that and bring it in?
Ramen is a long
project. I was just reading Yeah, I was reading into how to make pho, and it's like you gotta like boil bones and stuff. I'm not much for me.
Ramen's about a 2 or 3 day process. But
I don't know where to get the bone.
If you do it, it's lovely. I mean, if you want to commit that kind of time, like over a weekend, to make the stock and do all the pieces.
Oh yeah.
There's even like a special rolling pin to roll out to that'll cut all the ramen noodles that you can immediately put into boiling water, pull out, and then put into the stock.
Oh, I see what you mean. Oh, cool. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff, you know, to it.
I feel like that is, you know how food chains are getting more and more Chipotle-fied? You know, everybody goes down the aisle and it's pick what you want, or like a naff-naff grill kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I feel like ramen is that next step. Like, that's where we're headed. Somebody's going to have that restaurant.
Probably.
Yeah.
I wouldn't hate that.
That'd be fine.
I wouldn't hate that at all. I'd be all over that.
Like, as long as they don't bring the norovirus along with them.
Well,
the E. coli chains.
Because there's a little problem for Chipotle.
Running through Chipotle right now.
Poor things. Mm. They'll recover.
It's a tough
eventually.
Go.
In good time.
Yeah, because everybody likes burritos.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
They're selling a product that everybody wants anyway. They're going to get there.
So here's another thing. I'm going to take it back to New Year's Eve for a second.
Do
here's
it.
Another thing I'm going to do. I bought this big old half-gallon jar, this big mason jar, and I have little scraps of paper on standby. And every time something really awesome or fun or a win or an accomplishment, anything I want to, I'm just going to jot it on a piece of paper and throw it in the jar.
That's like of a personal nature, like your wins.
Or professional or whatever, yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
But that could be like, today so-and-so gave me the nicest compliment, or like, holy moly, I won the lottery today, or whatever.
So you get to pick your, that's actually a better idea, because now, well, even the better part of it for me is like, you get to pick what your wins are.
And
like,
there will be days where there'll be more than one.
Yeah.
Maybe, but I feel like it's a less hokey gratitude exercise. I don't want to be too hokey about it, but yet it's a still.
Do you go back like next New Year's Eve then and read them all? That's fun.
That's what I do. So then I'm going to dump the jar out this time next year and read them all and be like, oh yeah, there was that thing that I forgot about that. That's fun. Because it's easy, right? We get caught up in our lives and our stuff and we kind of go, gosh, do I have anything to show for this year? What did I do this year? I don't know.
And you're going to have at least 365 pieces of paper that tells you you have plenty to show for the year.
Right.
That's pretty cool.
That's what I'm going to do. Hopefully I don't drop that jar and break it because I feel like that'd be a really bad omen.
That'd be a rough start. Here's all of your wind crash splatter.
Yeah, done. that's what I worry. So I have a little place of honor for it in my kitchen counter, and I have all the little pieces of paper standing by. It'd
when does the first one go in?
I started
1201.
No, I start. I put one in yesterday.
Okay, it was the unofficial official start.
Yeah, I was like, you know, I will. Who knows what I'll be doing this time next year? So I have a little, you know, leeway on what day I do it.
So
I put one in yesterday.
You can bring it to Chi-Town Rising 2016. And
you
read it out because it's a new tradition.
It won't
Amy.
Be a new tradition. It'll just be a straight up tradition by then.
Regular old tradition by then.
Maybe we will actually call it something that people in Chicago say, like not Chi-Town.
Like Chicago.
Also that.
That would be fine with me.
Good times.
We've got news coming up at 3:00. Brian Noonan is going to step in. We'll talk to him a little bit, see what's coming up on the show. She's Amy. I'm Connor here on WGN.